Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network with you guys on a Tuesday morning talking wide receiver prospects for the 2019 NFL Draft. Trevor, four ACC guys?
I know. You're splitting them up and orderly, I must say.
But the energy is still high about the wide receiver group, right? You like these four guys that we watched.
I actually do. I like all four of these guys relatively. Yeah.
So you like everybody we've watched so far, basically.
Yeah.
I kind of do too. I mean, so we watched Calvin Harmon and Amon Richards, who are getting top 50 hype at the very least. Most first round hype probably for Harmon, I'd say. I don't know about that. We'll retrace our steps to that. Jalen Smith at Louisville, and Anthony Ratliff Williams at North Carolina. Do you want to start with Ratliff Williams?
Sure.
Because you mentioned before we got on air, Jalen Smith's kind of like a weird type player. I feel like Ratliff Williams is almost, I mean, this dude, I don't think he's fast. He runs with these super short strides and he runs like up on his toes.
Sometimes I don't think that he's fast, but then other times, I can't remember what game it was. He's like in the middle of the field and he just like turns the corner, almost like bend, like turns the corner, and then he just fires off for the last 20 yards in the end zone. I'm like, all right, well, I guess he's fast. I don't know.
He is one of the most unreal stat lines I've ever seen. 34 catches. 895 yards, and he averaged 26.3 yards per catch. I mean, you got to be at least somewhat fast. I mean, we're not trying to box score scout here, but I put on the table. I was like, I don't know. I don't think he's that fast. Dude kept winning vertically down the field. He wasn't really getting behind people. I mean, but he made contested catches. He made tough concentration catches through contact.
He's got some of the nicest, like, high points. And I don't mean high points as in, like, in the air. I mean, like, high points as in, like, highlight reel kind of plays. Like, he's got some of the best out of every single guy we've watched.
That's very true. Yeah, his juggling catch falling down against Pitt. Was it Notre Dame that he went up and over Julian Love? Back corner of the end zone. And keep in mind, UNC was horrible last year. So he is basically the only dude. And he's smoking people. He had almost 1,000. If he'd had two more catches, he'd had 1,000 yards at his rate. I mean, this is insane. Like,
you know what I want to say, too, about him? One, I thought that he was taller, and I thought Jalen Smith was shorter, which was super weird. It messed me up the whole time. I had to look up their heights while I was watching them.
Yeah.
It was weird. But there are a bunch of plays where, because I watched part of his highlight reel, too, where Ratliff Williams, they'll do like a backwards pass and he'll be a quarterback, right? Or they'll do like a wide receiver reverse and he'll get to have the ball out of the backfield and things like that. He makes it all look so easy. And I know it's kind of like, hey, what does him playing quarterback on a play have anything to do with him being a wide receiver? Well, nothing about him being a wide receiver, but it does tell me he's like a natural athlete. I just think that he's very comfortable around the football no matter what he is doing, and I think that holds meaning to where you're determining a guy's potential and perhaps what you can teach him and perhaps what he might be able to do. Obviously physical things and athletic profiles, not really something that could change, but like nuances, little things that you might want to ask him to do, like diversify a route tree or get better at chopping his feet or better at separation here and there, just like different types of things of being an athlete. When you show me stuff like that, where you're just so supremely comfortable doing really odd things with the football that's not pertaining to your position, it's encouraging to me. It's at least something to keep in the back of my head. So he showed me a couple of those.
So two things that I have to know with Ratliff Williams. One is, so I look at college football or sportsreference.com, collegesportsreference.com for statistics for these guys because I like the way it's a simple layout usually. So for receivers, they always have receiving yards first. Well, now that you were just talking, I looked at it and realized that for him, for some reason that only God knows, they put the return stats first. So actually, he averaged 26.3 yards per kickoff return, not per catch. So I'm a little bit disappointed by that fact. However, he still averaged 18 yards per catch. So he's still making plays vertically in the passing game. But I was like, what? 26.3? That's insane. So not quite 26.3. But his reception numbers don't look much different. He still averaged 18 yards per catch and had 6 touchdowns. So again, like you said, the splash plays were for sure there. Here's the vibe I got from Anthony Ratliff-Williams. Since we are a comp podcast now, let's just start throwing out comps for everybody.
Here we go.
I feel like that's the direction
we're moving. It was Megatron yesterday.
Yep.
Who's one for one Megatron
comp. By the way, Fran Duffy texted me. He said he listened to our pod on the way home, and he said he thinks that DK Metcalf, like, physical athletic comp is more Julio Jones than Calvin Johnson. So he's still on that elite wide receiver vein, so I was okay with that. So, okay, that's how he feels. For Ratliff-Williams, to me, I think of like a less polished Jarvis Landry in a lot of ways because he's so physical as a blocker. He's tough after the catch, and he has the burst in short areas to be able to separate a little bit, but also with the ball in his hands, he just becomes this creative playmaker. And you saw that at times in different games. Virginia Tech, he caught one, turned a corner, hit the gas. And again, the long speed, I don't think he's going to test great. Like Jarvis, I don't think you're going to see a great tester in terms of being a fast guy, but makes tough catches outside his frame, you know, tough catches that'll make highlight reels. And that's Jarvis, as much as we slander him for what Adam Gase did, how many times at LSU was Jarvis?
Could not be us. Slandering Jarvis Landry. Right. Could not be me.
Could not be us at all. But how many times at LSU were we like, how did he make that? I mean, the dude's hands, unbelievable. When I watched Ratliff-Williams, I thought he had great hands. So there's some similarities to their game. Landry's way more polished in releases and routes still than where Ratliff-Williams
was. That's for sure. That's a very interesting comp there.
Yeah, like Ratliff-Williams basically ceiling maybe is like Jarvis Landry. Maybe ceiling is Jarvis Landry. We'll see.
We're gonna do wide receiver rankings, right? Because I was about to ask you to compare, but I'll wait for that.
We are gonna do them. Yeah, we're gonna drop those on Thursday along with our tight end.
I won't give it away.
Jalen Smith, you liked him.
I did.
I don't know, man. I don't think he's athletic at all. Like, I don't think he can jump. I don't think he's explosive. I don't think he's fast. I don't know. I just think he's really, really average athlete, and he drops too many passes.
I don't know, man.
You think he's a good
athlete? I don't know.
What stood out to you athletically?
I don't, and we talked a little bit before the podcast about him. He's just a very unique dude. Like, his build is,
he's hashtag thick.
Yeah, his build is not typical of a wide receiver. I don't know if I want to call him a bad athlete because I don't think he is because I think he gets away from people plenty, but I don't know if it's like consistent separation.
Yeah, he like makes some nice catches. Like at times you'll see like, oh, that was a nice hands catch, but then he'll drop one and then he doesn't finish a route. And so I don't know. And like he'll be slippery after the catch, but then you're like, okay, but does he have traits like, are these just out of control defenders trying to bring him down? Like, or does he actually have traits where like he can get away from people? Now he's made plays in the vertical passing game. You can't really deny that. It's on his tape. I'd argue a lot of time it is against zone coverage. They move him around. They find ways to get him the football. He is kind of a sly athlete, I would say. Like he kind of knows what he's doing. He knows how to like counteract his deficiencies a little bit. I mean, his first couple years, he was, you know, speaking of crazy average yards per catch, Two years ago when he was a sophomore in 2016, 27 catches, 599 yards. He averaged 22 yards per catch. So he was making plays in the vertical passing game. But I just felt like for every play he made, he missed two. And like, you know, Mississippi State game, ball goes through his hands twice. I think he had one was intercepted, I think. Maybe the other one was too. The other one was a little bit behind him, but I just felt like, you know, that's a ball you got to have. And it just didn't feel like he was always on the same page with Lamar. I remember, what game was it? There was a game I was watching live, trying to remember which Lou. It might have been Clemson, where he was just like not on the same page. Like he was basically, he like came out of his post break and wasn't looking for the football, and it was intercepted. I think the ball ended up being intercepted or like right by him, and he like wasn't even looking for it. So like attention to detail things like for him was like somewhat frustrating with me. But like then he would make some plays, like that one hander I saw you tweeted out. That was a nice catch.
Back
in the end zone. I don't know. I didn't see any traits to get really excited
about. Sly athlete is a really interesting way to put it.
You know, he's just kind of, He's slippery. I think I like
that. Because that's, you're right. I mean, he, okay, so he's listed 6'3".
Yeah,
I didn't think he was 6'3".
You he's thought like, he was shorter.
He's like, he's listed like 6'3", 6'4". Maybe that's because of his body frame. I don't know.
He's a legit 220, 225, right?
Well, yeah, he's got, no, he's, yeah.
He's got some junk in the trunk.
This is true.
Put it that way.
That's a scouting term.
It is. Look it up. It's true. Okay, Jalen Smith, Anthony Ratliff Williams.
Did you like him? Because we'll have more than five of these guys. I'll just ask you. Do you like him the least out of everybody we've watched?
Out of the 2 days that we've watched, the eight guys that we've talked about, or yes. Just today's guys? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you not like him the least?
No, I don't.
Huh. Wow.
Like him the least.
He's probably going to be like number one or number two for you. Just kidding.
Yeah, why did you say one?
Okay, so Richard.
First round grade. Pick him over Ed Oliver.
Bosa-esque talent.
Bosa, Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith looks like he could play some DN, man, I'm telling you.
It might not be wrong.
So we've got two guys that are getting, I don't know if even first round hype is the way to say it. I'm not really sure where everybody's at with this wide receiver class. I'm just not. Yesterday I talked to some people who thought Bryan Edwards from South Carolina, the other South Carolina receiver,
I think that,
was like wide receiver one, maybe.
So like with us launching the Draft Network and everything and us getting more into preseason scouting and having to put things, you know, to a page and really get into guys, I think that I have noticed more than any other year that when it comes to preseason scouting, it's just all over the place. Like the three websites that do 2019 mock drafts, the second the draft ends, the second the last draft ends, you know what I'm saying? Like well, it's never too early to look the next year. Going to write next year.
Exactly.
Word for word as I start the article. Like, you'll have those prospects, and everybody just builds off of those 32 names that are right there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you kind of get people to branch out a little bit more and more as they kind of watch tape themselves. But you could just never find a consensus with a lot of these guys, yeah. I feel. Over the last month, that's one of the big things that I've learned is that there is just not a consensus with a lot of these players.
Especially this time of year, which is okay. But again, I think also the wide receiver group, it's such a deep group and such a versatile group that I feel like people were kind of just like, you know, this guy I think has the potential to do this. This guy has the potential to do this. Like, I know people who don't have DK Metcalf in their top 10 wide receivers. And like, we've talked about him as a guy we think can be wide receiver one, first guy off the board. Like, it's just that much variance right now. So even with that discrepancy that typically happens this time of year, definitely more so with the wide receiver group, I think, than with any other group so far. I mean, you've got a legitimately probably 15 different names that show up in top 10s, and some guys that can show up in the top 5 aren't even in somebody else's top 10. So it's been interesting to have those discussions and talk to people and get their feel for things. We're going to talk about Deebo Samuel and Bryan Edwards along with a couple other receivers tomorrow on the podcast. But Amon Richards, to me, I thought, had the traits that you want. I didn't worry about athleticism with Amon Richards. I didn't worry about speed with Amon Richards. I didn't worry about acceleration, ability to separate. I worried about an insane amount of drops.
Yep.
Of drops. Like, he made DeMarcus Lodge look like he had great hands. I mean, he just dropped so many passes that it was – and I know, like, if you're a playmaker, that's – like, I can live with it, and I get it. I agree with that mindset, but – you got to finish more plays this year, man. Like, he has to. And I thought that physicality really bothered him. Even though I think he's physical in his mindset, I thought that he didn't have, like, the polished handwork to kind of work off of physical corners down the field and his route breaks and releases and things like that. I think he has the traits. I think he has the mentality. I think he's just still putting it all together technically.
I love him as an athlete. He's a fantastic athlete. I mean, there's the play versus, who are they playing, Syracuse, where he basically jumps over a man fully standing in the air.
He was like surrounded by two other dudes, and he just like in flight over a guy. It's
crazy. And then was that the same game where he caught where he high pointed the ball in the end zone?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that was that game.
I mean, he shows off his athleticism so often, and it's so clear that he is comfortable in his body because there are – a bunch of plays that he makes where he is just tiptoeing or tightroping the sideline, either running or coming down with a catch. And he is so conscious of where the sideline is. He uses every inch of the football field to his advantage. He's in control of himself, I think, the entire time. The thing is that just, like, consistency. Mm-hmm. I think getting the ball into his hands, making sure that he has it, is the main thing, because, you know, you watch the highlights of Amon Richards, and if you just put on the highlights of Amon Richards, you're like, this kid's the best wide receiver in the class. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. Like he can do things athletically and in control that other wide receivers just can't do. And then you watch actual game film, and like you said, I think the big things are he's got to catch the ball more with more consistency, and then I think people have a tendency to bully him a little bit. Maybe that's an experience thing, though, because Richards is young. Like, he started producing his freshman year for Miami. Last year was only his sophomore year. I know he missed a bunch of time because of his hamstring injury. And when you're a sophomore, most of the time, you're pretty much still just coasting off of who you were as a recruit. Like, it doesn't normally click until your draft eligible years. And so I wonder if he's got 2 years of tape under his belt now. He looked at it. The coaches looked at it. And that's one of the things they pointed out at him. Like, hey, you get bullied a lot.
Yeah.
You don't want to get bullied.
Right.
And you can work on not getting bullied. And I really do. I wonder if
he's light.
If they emphasize that. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but he's going to be light no matter what. I still think he can. I think he can deal with strength better than he does now.
Yeah, he does. With more exact hand work, yeah. I mean, and that's one of the big differences.
He's always going to be skinny. Like, right. That's just, like, he's going to be that, because he's that kind of athlete. He uses athleticism to beat people, which he obviously can because it's really successful. But
he and Lodge reminded me of each other in some degree because of the drops, but also because both 6'1", both about 195, probably 195 to 200. Lankier guys, but Lodge, a good example of a guy who uses his hands so much better down the field and at the line of scrimmage to create that early separation and late separation down the field, uses his hands really, really well, subtle in that way, just a more polished vertical type of player. To me, Richards is probably the better athlete, though I think Lodge is really fast, but I didn't see the same level of polish from Richards, so that's what I'm looking for him for this year. Like, I think the mentality's there. I think he does some things after the catch we haven't really gotten the opportunity to see from Lodge, I'll say that. Both guys have trouble finishing, and I think it's a big issue for both of them. And so I think that, to me, that was, I kept coming back to each other when I watched
them. What do you think it is? Just focus or what?
For Richards, he lets the ball into his frame a lot. For Lodge, it was straight drops off his hands. Like, he would even adjust and still not come up with it. And he, like, I didn't get
which one's more coachable?
I think Lodge actually is probably a little bit more likely to have those issues go away because he does attack the ball with his hands, and he has examples of plays where he makes unbelievable hands catches outside his frame. I think Richards is, like, truly bad habits. Like, he lets the ball into his body a lot and he gets those rebounds off his chest. And I think that that's one of the big issues. And then the other issue he has is, like, he caught a ball. I think he doesn't really, like, complete the act of gaining separation, and he's not the type of receiver that's going to be able to, like, box guys out. Like, we're going to talk about Calvin Harmon. I actually wrote in my Amon Richards scouting notes the anti Calvin Harmon, like, in that he, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't box people out. Like, yeah, he even if he gets position, like, guys can work through him and contest catches. Like, Calvin Harmon, that's just like that's his thing, man. I have other questions with him, but that is, like, his thing. Like, you can't work through him to get the ball. So to me, that was one issue with Richards, and I think him and Lodge kind of share that issue. I don't know that either will ever be great contested catch guys, but Richards has the better hops, I think. So,
all right, let's talk about Harmon.
High point and elevation ability, I give that nod to Richards. Harmon is another odd receiver, to be honest. 6'3", 215, plays like it, after the catch, plays like it, I should say. I was worried about the fact that I didn't really feel like he did a great job of working off press coverage. Like, he got boxed to the sideline a good number of times and just kind of, like, runs out of real estate and doesn't really seem like have that sense of urgency. Like, I've got to stay in the field to play. I've got to give my quarterback a throwing window. Against zone, you can kind of see that. Against man, he's super comfortable just being hip to hip. Those guys can't play the ball and he can, so it works, but I wonder about a better level of competition. Is it going to bother him more in the NFL?
You're not going to find a stronger guy to the ball in the air.
No.
You're not.
And you know why it's weird? He's unbelievable at making contested catches.
Yes.
But he high pointed the ball like, I watched a bunch of games. He high pointed the ball like two or three times out of all the contested games. He like is leaping up, breadbasket catches on top of guys' helmets. But it's,
I think that's the part that bugged me the most about Kelvin Harmon, truly, is that he lets the ball get to his chest more than he does. His arms are stretched out. And he comes away with the catches so many times.
Yes, almost all the time.
It's so much more difficult to do what he's doing currently than it is for him to just stick his arms out and time the jump better. Like the one, oh God, who are they playing? Where he just double moves the guy in the end zone, left side of the end zone. And he just straight up like one-handed catches it like to his chest. Like, what? What are you doing?
It looked like he lost the ball. And then all of a sudden, it was like he caught it with just one hand and he was like touched it. I was like, I think a lot of the time when I watch him, I think like he misplayed it. And then he gets it. I was like, man. I mean, I don't think he missed the contested catch the whole in all the games I watched.
I'm just not worried at all about Kelvin Harmon in the NFL, though, because if you are – I would like for him to do things better. But if he is already doing things the hard way – and succeeding the way that he is, I can live with that.
Well, sort of, but the level of competition is going to be better. You don't get DBs that can play the ball that often.
Yeah, but he's going to get better.
But yeah,
like he's going to get stronger. He's going to get better against press coverage. I just don't think he's good at now.
Here's why I have concerns about Kelvin Harmon. I mean, I do, but I
don't have any.
None. You think he's perfect?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So Randy Moss.
Terrell and Owens, actually.
Oh, Terrell Owens, okay. So I think, you know, after the catch, it kind of some similar. I mean, Harmon is so physical after the catch. I just wish he was that physical in his releases. And I don't think it's like a physicality thing. I just don't think he, like...
I think he can be. Like, you already see that in him.
Why isn't he, then? I don't know. I just didn't...
Bro, we've been over this. College coaches don't coach.
That's somewhat true. I think that he definitely will benefit from a little NFL coaching to his tools. Here's my big concern. I don't think Kelvin Harmon's fast. And I think that he doesn't really sell vertically either. So, like, if you're not fast, and I don't think he has, like, that easy acceleration. Like, he doesn't separate from people like Richards can. Like, he doesn't get out of his breaks like Richards does. So, I think separation's always going to be an issue. And those guys have not done super well in the NFL of late. Now, if you're great in your releases and you become really technical, I think you can do it because he has great ball skills. But I definitely am concerned about him. Yeah, I don't think I think there's going to be athleticism questions around Kelvin Harmon that are super fair. I think there were athleticism questions surrounding him coming out of high school. I think those are going to follow him to the NFL, to the next step, because on tape, I mean, again, a load to bring down after the catch, but he doesn't make people miss. You know, he's not elusive. He's not quick twitch. He's not that type of player. So I think he's got to counteract that by being really technical, and I don't think he's there yet. So, yeah, we've seen a lot of receivers bust with his type of skill set. So I'm a little concerned. I think Mike Williams, if you compare guys who like won in contested catch ways, I think Mike Williams
is
a lot more
polished. I was just about
to
ask you, tell me what you think of Mike Williams compared to like where they were, where Kelvin Harmon is, where he is.
The reports are that Williams has had his issues adjusting a little bit, but he's also barely been healthy, so it is a little bit hard to tell. And he's looked good in the preseason, but again, mostly making contested catches. I thought Williams was a lot more polished than Harmon is. And Williams is one of the best contested catch receivers I've ever seen in college. I mean, he was just incredible. He made highlight reels all the time. We probably didn't talk enough about how good Williams was as a college football player. But the question still remains, does it translate to the NFL? I mean, Josh Dotson, Laquon Treadwell, all those guys made contested catches consistently, but none of them have been able to separate consistently from man coverage or break things down against different types of coverages, you know, releases, things like that. So, I don't know. I think his prototype is...
I mean, like, if you can't get a nuance for the position, I guess sure.
Yeah.
Space gets super limited in the NFL. And, like, that's a big deal. That's why a lot of these slot guys we fall in love with, because by nature of where they play, they know how to do it, and it's much more difficult to project some of these bigger guys doing it. I mean, that's why Amon Richards gets the praise that he does, even though, like you said, he shows tons of consistency issues with actually catching the football. But guess what? He can get in and out of his breaks quickly, and he can manipulate DBs with their hips flipping, and he can get away from them easier. But I'm not worried about Kelvin Harmon as much as you are.
I'm worried about him, like, as in Kelvin Harmon, I've heard talked about as a top 10 guy. I don't think he looked like a top 10 overall player on tape.
I think he's close.
Really? Okay. All right. So you, yep. I'm gonna be the lone TDN holdout on the Calvin Harmon hype train, I think, because I think Joe and Kyle are also on board. Listen, but
that's your brand. You've got to be the negative dude. You know.
But see, I'm positive on other guys. I'm super positive. Like to me, when I watched, and we'll talk about Deebo Samuel tomorrow, but like, I don't think there's a comparison between Deebo Samuel and Calvin Harmon in terms of
aren't they completely different receivers?
Nope. Watch Deebo. I can't wait for you to watch Deebo Samuel tomorrow.
How big is Deebo Samuel?
He's listed 5'11", 215.
Okay.
So he's shorter than Harmon, same weight. I'm excited for you to watch Deebo Samuel tomorrow. I'm just gonna say that, and I'll let you draw your own conclusions from his tape, and then you can come on tomorrow's podcast and tell me who you think is a better football player right now, and we can talk upside because I think we both kind of agreed Harmon's not the like most athletic dude, so I don't know that there's this crazy amount of upside. If both guys are who they are when they enter the NFL, other than like the nuances of Harmon getting off press coverage, I'm just curious to see what you think.
Okay.
I want to know your thoughts on Deebo. I'm excited to talk about it tomorrow. But it's a good group, no question. Like all four of these guys have talent. I definitely have questions about all of them that needs to be answered this year. But again, like if you don't have questions about guys, like there are so few guys going to their last year of college. I mean, Calvin Harmon is going into his junior year. Amon Richards is going into his junior year. So they were sophomores, probably I think both of them were in their first years as full-time starters at that level of football. So it's not really unusual to have questions. Like for most of these guys, other than like Bosa, we should like have some level of question that he's answered, I think, going into the year if we're looking at it. So I think that that's normal to be in that position. It doesn't necessarily mean we're super down on anybody. We talked about A.J. Brown yesterday. We have questions that need answered about A.J. Brown to match the hype. It doesn't mean we hate A.J. Brown as a prospect. It just means that if we're projecting him out to like this top 10 type of billing, here's the things he needs to show. And can he show them, you know? So this wide receiver class, it's going to come down to athletic testing for so many of these guys, right? Like Harmon can't like bomb it, right? I mean, you agree if he runs in like the 4.6s, would you be a little more concerned?
He's just going to be my Auden Tate this year. Honestly,
there were some similarities in their games.
No, I agree, which is probably why I hella loved Calvin Harmon and don't see that big of a problem because I didn't see that big of a problem with Auden Tate.
Yeah, but, I mean, but it certainly wasn't a seventh round problem with Auden Tate. I think we both agree with that.
Where did you think he should have been drafted?
He ran what, 4.8?
I think he ran in like the 4.7s or something. I don't remember.
It was bad. But anyway, his workout was so bomb. His profile fell so much, basically. And remember, I was writing like 15 different places. So like I only had time to watch like 175 dudes. And he was on the list I was trying to get to. And I never got to actually like complete his evaluation because I was trying to prioritize guys I believed would be drafted ahead of him so that I could have opinions on them. So that when they got drafted, you know, I could put it out there. I definitely did not think he should have gone to the seventh. I wasn't like, I think Kyle had him in the second, like top 50. I knew I wasn't that high on him, but I was somewhere between that for sure. Like seventh to me, I was like, dude, yeah, his ball skills. Like I've seen enough live that I knew that it was crazy to me that he was still there, but he had a pretty friggin' awful workout. So, I mean, when that happened, I was kind of like, man, some of these other guys bumped up and I got to watch them first. So anyway, I think there's a lot of talent there with Harmon. I just wonder if some of those other things will hold him back some. So good discussion though. It's going to be like this with all the receivers. I like this class because there's a lot of different angles to look at it from. We've got to come back to the NFL and see what wins and what doesn't. So who are we talking about tomorrow? We got Arcega Whiteside and Keel Harry.
You said Deebo, right?
Deebo Samuel, Brian Edwards, and trying to fit Denzel Mims in there too for our boy Brad Kelly, the Baylor kid. We got to get a Big 12 guy in. We haven't watched any Big 12 guys. Colin Johnson, we're not going to get to. TJ Vasher.
We're not going to get to Hollywood Brown. Dang it.
I know, we're not going to Hollywood Brown, TJ Vasher, Riley Ridley. We haven't got to any of the Georgia guys. Colin Johnson from Texas. I mean, there's Wisconsin's got to. I mean, this is a talented class. There's all kinds of flavors in this class, so it's gonna be fun. Gonna be fun to talk more wide receivers tomorrow on the pod, and then we'll talk our top fives and tight ends on Thursday, and then on Friday we will have the Super Show with Kyle and Joe coming over to Locked On NFL Draft. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.